So good morning.
Good morning.
I've been coming up here for I think it's been 2 years that I've been coming up on and off up here, you know? Man, every single time I come up here, I still get really, really nervous. And it's not that I don't feel comfortable around you. It's the importance of the words that I want to share with you that make me so nervous. Last time Bethel was here, Israel's dad, and after I spoke, he said, you know what I'd like to see that I see in Texas that I don't see here very much is you randomly call on someone to have read scripture in the middle of your sermon. It kind of keeps them on their toes and it prevents them from falling asleep. So today, if you don't mind, that's what I'm going to do. As I'm going through my sermon, and if you're trying not to make eye contact with me, then I'll probably pick on you. And if you really don't want to go because you're terrified or anything, you can tell me no and I'll pick somebody else. Okay? But today I'm going to talk about remembering, okay, and the importance to remember things. Do you remember your first car? My first car was a 1991 Honda Civic with a really bad paint job, and the taillights in the back were holding on with duct tape. The wires were on and off, and I had super crazy seatbelts that it almost went like with the beat of the song that I was playing because the seatbelts would go back and forth, you know? So I called him Houdini because he was almost like a magician, you know? Even the stereo, every time I'd hit a bump, it'd skip. And I was like, man, that's cool. And that was my first car. You know, your first home. God has been good to Isabel and I, and we just acquired our first home. And I'm pretty sure you remember your first homes. Your first job. My very first job ever was working at McDonald's. And I was a high school senior, and I hated it. I was come home smelling like grease. And don't get me wrong, I still ate the food even though it was gross. You know? Your high school graduation, you know, you might remember it very clearly. The excitement that was going on. Your college graduation. The sense of accomplishment. So you probably do remember all of these things. See, we tend to remember the special moments in life. And for many of us, it's almost like a freeze-framed image in our minds. You know, like they say, a Kodak moment. See, our memories are not simply for personal moments. Throughout our country, there are monuments to mark the special occasions and events. You know, if you've ever been to Washington, D.C., you know that it's full of monuments. And, you know, I personally haven't, and that's on my bucket list to go and see these monuments. You know, there you find the Washington Monument, the Lincoln Memorial, the Jefferson Memorial, reminding us of the contributions that these men made for our country in difficult times. See, in 2004, our country recognized the effort of some 16 million men and women who served in World War II. And they recognized it with the World War II Memorial as a monument to the spirit, the sacrifice, and the commitment of the American people. Monuments are not exclusive just to Washington, D.C. See, we have national cemeteries and battlefields, you know, such as Arlington and Gettysburg, which remind all of us of the high price of our freedom. See, monuments, cemeteries, battlefields, special days, all designed to help us remember and never forget the sacrifices made to enjoy the freedom that we have today. But memories are not just for heroes. We go into a bookstore, and I was writing about bookstore, I automatically thought about Jenny. Because I automatically thought about Jenny when I was writing about a bookstore because I know she loves books, you know. And you walk into any bookstore in America and you'll find an abundance of memory books. You know, and they're called memoirs, right? recollections of experiences and events people want to remember in life. Because we as a people have a desire to remember, right? Something big happens, something great happens, you want to remember that moment. And sometimes we're not so good at remembering things. It kind of scares me, because sometimes I'll be driving down the road, and I'll be like, where am I going again? And I'm only 23, so I'm like, oh my goodness, this is going to be bad. So, you know, sometimes we use oral traditions to rethink of something, right? To remember stories of people. See, I don't know if it's a grandparent thing, but my grandma was raised by her aunt, and she was kind of like my great-grandmother. Her name was Edminia, but I called her Aja for some reason. She lived to be 101 years old. And I remember her telling me stories about anything. I could take a quarter out of my pocket and she'd have a two-hour story. And I remember one day, I got cracked my head open a lot when I was a kid. And I was bleeding. And she grabs this towel out of nowhere. You can still see some of my blood on it. She used to call me Kando, because my name's Alejandro, and she just said Kando for some reason. And she said, your troubles can be like anything you put on this towel. Whether it's your tears, your mocos, or even blood from cracking your head open, you can wash this towel, and all of those troubles will be gone. I'll never forget my Aja and the things she did for me. When I think of her, it reminds me of Philippians 2:3. It says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interest, but also to the interest of others. See, I want my kids and their kids to remember my Aja through the stories that I give them. I want them to remember her love. You know? Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9, which is what Isaiah wrote, read to you guys. And then it continues on in verse 12, where it says, be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Fear the Lord your God and serve him only. See, his love is great. And just as I want my kids to remember my Aja's love, I especially want them to remember the love of Jesus. And sometimes, when we try to remember something, we do something that helps us remember. One of my biggest fears is leaving the stove on and then coming home to not just a burnt house, but burnt tortillas. And it all being gone, you know? And I read somewhere that if you do a little dance or something, it helps you remember. So if I'm ever around you and I just start dancing, okay, it's because I want to remember that moment. Okay? So we do things to remember certain times of our lives. And then sometimes to remember, we visit a memorial or some type of monument. You know, there are Civil War memorials. They help us remember history, the price that someone paid for us. There are many types of memorials. You know, there's the Gateway Arch in St. Louis, the Vietnam Memorial, the Jewish Museum in Berlin, the Oklahoma City National Memorial, the USS Arizona Memorial in Honolulu. There's so many memorials around us, but the ultimate memorial, the one that outlasts, the one that outshines and overshadows them all, is what? The cross. I get a shiver down my back sometimes when I look at it. It's been around for about 2,000 years. People put them in their churches, on top of their churches, around their necks, in picture frames, and hang them on the wall. It reminds us and focuses us on what he did and what he went through. I look at the cross. I can almost see his face, beaten and disfigured. It's somehow still full of love. looking down at us. Blood trickling down from his face, from the thorns that were shoved into his scalp. I can almost hear his voice as he speaks the words, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they are doing." Here is God in human flesh. All the power in the universe is his. He could stop the torture at any moment. He could call down angels to rescue him, to avenge him, and destroy those who would sentence him to die. But no, he stayed. He chose to stay on that cross. You see, no one took his life. He laid it down. Why? For us. For you. For I. He paid a price that none of us could ever pay. Okay, here we go. Manuel, can you please get John 15:13 for me, please?
John 15:13?
Yes, please.
"With greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends."
Thank you, Manuel. See, Jesus paid the price on the cross because of his love. He paid the price because it was necessary. It is a price you and I could never pay. We have nothing to offer that's worth as much as the blood of the Lamb. Levi, can you get Philippians 2:5 for me, please?
Which was also in Christ Jesus.
Then go ahead and go through all the way to verse 8 for me.
"Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross."
He humbled himself. A great king humbled himself. See, some things are important to remember, and some things we must never forget. When we look at the cross, remember. Remember his service. Remember his sacrifice. Remember his love. But when you look at the cross, remember something else. That cross is empty. He didn't stay on the cross. It's empty because Jesus endured the cross. It didn't defeat him. Death couldn't hold him. Jesus said, "I have the power to lay down my life and the power to pick it back up again." And that is exactly what he did. He defeated the cross. He defeated death. He defeated sin and Satan. Colossians 2:13, "When you were dead in your sins and in uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having concealed the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross." He has the power to forgive your sins. He has the power to reconcile you to God. He has the power to save you. See, not only are we supposed to remember his death, we are also to remember his return. See, Paul says to proclaim his death until he comes. See, our disappointments are not deadly. Our hurts are not forever because of the death of Christ, we are victorious, and because He is returning, we can conquer all that life throws at us through Christ. Peter wrote, "For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect." So tomorrow, bring our focus on the cross. Bring our thoughts on the one who saved you. Bring ourselves with a humble heart. See, understanding what we observe is not a privilege, but it's out of gratitude for what Christ did for each of us. See, the world is full of monuments, statues, and memorials reminding us of the great battles and works of men and women. All these monuments have one thing in common. They either need to be repaired every now and then, they need to be refurbished as time goes on, and sometimes they're even forgotten. But 2,000 years ago, our God left a different kind of memorial and monument. The Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "This is My body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." In the same way, after supper, He took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in My blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of Me." 1 Corinthians 11, 23-25. His was not a memorial that would need repairs. It's not a memorial that needs to be refurbished every now and then. It's not one of marble and granite, but of bread and a cup. So simple, but so necessary. This is an important memorial, a costly covenant, a close encounter. May we always remember it. And may we never forget what can wash away our sins. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Grace to you and peace be multiplied.